The other day, Brian and I were having lunch and talking about Eddie Vedder, the lead singer of Pearl Jam, you know, like we do often, and we needed to find something out about Eddie Vedder. So I picked up my phone, which was lying on the table, and I Googled Eddie Vedder, and I had all kinds of information at my fingertips, all kinds of things I never knew about him. Question answered. Wikipedia is also one of my buddies. If you don't know what Wikipedia is, it's an online encyclopedia, and you can get information on anything with just the pressing of a few keys. We live in a time of incredible knowledge. It's hard for me to even wrap my mind sometimes around how much we know and how much we can do. We were also this week watching a Frontline special on the Ebola outbreak in Africa because we know how to have fun. And we could not even imagine the scope of this disease and how people came in and treated it and how they knew what to do and how they could save so many lives that were in their hands. We can do a lot today to help save and protect lives. But for as much as we know, there's also a lot that we don't know. It's a paradox. We can save a lot of people from Ebola or cancer, but we can't save everyone. And that leads us to one of the biggest questions that we ask in life. Why? Why did I get cancer? Why did my loved one die? Why does God allow these things? Why do I struggle with depression? Why does terrorism or abuse or natural disasters or fill in the blank, why do these things happen? We have lots of questions and we want answers from our world leaders, from our pastors, but most of all, we want answers from God. And when we don't feel God has an adequate answer to our questions, this can shake our faith and lead us to doubt. I'm not one to think that questions or even doubt of some kinds are necessarily bad. I think that questions are good, and they're an important part of having a mature faith. It's part of being human to question, part of having a brain and engaging God in our lives. So I hope that you don't ever feel bad for your questions or your doubt. I recently read that faith is better understood as a verb than as a noun, as a process rather than as a possession. It's an on-again, off-again rather than a once and for all. Faith is not being sure where you're going, but going anyway. A journey without maps. The theologian Paul Tillich said that doubt isn't the opposite of faith, it's an element of faith. In fact, I was thinking about it, and some of the best sermons I've heard are ones that raise some of the best questions I've heard. Where I think our questions get the better of us is if we get lost in them and don't seek the answers. Talk to people about your questions. Come to Adult Forum, to Thursday Night Bible Study. Come and talk with Pastor Paul or Amy Ruth or me. Pray even in your doubt. You can even pray to God about your questions. Questions and doubt are a part of faith. Even leaders of the faith have been through times of doubt and disbelief. Remember, the Apostle Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Martin Luther had times of intense doubt and anger with God. Peter doubted Jesus' teaching, and so did Thomas. And when Jesus was raised from the dead and appeared to his disciples, the Bible tells us that they worshiped him, but some doubted. As a pastor, I get to sit with people in all stages of faith. And I get to hear things like, I know that God exists and that God is good. Or, on the other end, I don't know why this happened. How could God have let this happen? There are times that this is really hard because I feel your pain and your struggle, and I so want to have whatever it is that will make you feel better and restore your faith. One of my hang-ups when I was thinking about becoming a pastor was that I knew I didn't have all the answers. And I confessed to my mentor and my campus pastor, Deanna, that I felt called to ministry, but I didn't have the answers, so how could I stand up here every week and talk to you about God? She said, I don't have to have all the answers, that my job is to sit with you and listen. I hope that she was right. I used to say, only half jokingly, that being a pastor involves saying, I don't know a lot. Because God does not work like Google. We have the Bible to guide us, and thank God we do, but we just can't type in our specific questions and get immediate answers. God does know everything, even more than Google and Wikipedia. But before these things existed, people still had their questions and doubts. The Psalms address this over and over again. Horrible things still happened thousands of years ago when the Bible was written, things that had no easy answers, things that made people doubt God. As Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. People have suffered and have wondered why since time began. Our reading from Job starts at chapter 38. The first two chapters of Job tell the story of what a great man Job was, how blessed and how faithful, and how he lost everything, his cattle, his wife, his children, everything. The next 35 chapters are Job and his friends talking, and his friends trying to convince him that he must have done something to deserve this. Finally, God answers in today's reading. But God answers, as you heard, with a bunch of questions. Basically saying that God knows more than we do. That God is more powerful than us. And maybe you find this comforting, knowing that you're in the hands of a God who is so powerful. But maybe this isn't a comfort to you. I can see both ways. I love the story of the Valley of Dry Bones that we heard from Ezekiel today. God sets him down in the middle of a valley full of bones and asks if he thinks that the bones can live again. Ezekiel says, O Lord God, you know. Sometimes we can feel like those bones. We can feel spiritually dry or dead. We can feel emptied out. But that does not mean that God is done with us. God raised those dry bones. He put skin and muscles on them, and then God breathed into them the breath of life, the Holy Spirit. God even spells it out for Ezekiel. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is completely lost. We are cut off. But God says, I am going to open your graves and bring you back to your home. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. We can feel dead or empty, but God is not done with us. God has plans for us, and those plans involve life and breath and new things. Doubt and faith go hand in hand. Being a Christian and even a pastor doesn't mean having all the answers. When I don't know the answer to something, I always go back to what I do know for sure about God. That God made the world. God made you and me. That the Bible is the story of God reaching out to God's people again and again because God loves us and wants to be with us. That Jesus was the fullest expression of God's love for us. And that we're supposed to love each other because in loving and in losing our lives for him, we find a new life that's even better than we could imagine. Thomas is remembered for his doubting, but he is not as well known for what he says in John chapter 11. Jesus tells the disciples that they have to head back to Judea because their friend Lazarus is sick. The disciples try to talk Jesus out of it because the last time they were in Judea, people were trying to stone Jesus. But Thomas makes a declaration of faith in his Lord and says, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Faith and doubt exist in us all. We don't have all the answers. We just have to keep going with Jesus, knowing that he is the one who died for us, and trusting that the Holy Spirit will move in us and make us alive where we feel dead, and that God has the answers and the power that we need to be restored. Amen.